When I was in high school, I was appalled every time I saw the high school principal because he didn't know my name. Every time I saw him, he would say, "Hi, Bev," and I would say, "Hi, principal." And I didn't know what else to do. I mean, we went for 4 years like this, and he'd see me, and he'd say, "Hi, Bev," and I'd say, "Hi," and it just embarrassed me. And if you had gone to him, if one of the other faculty or one of the students had gone to him and talked about that nerdy good student, you know, who plays golf, or the one who wrote the mushy poems for the yearbook, or the student who is Mike and Marcia's little sister, he would have known exactly who you were talking about. He would have known that was me. But he just called me Bev for some reason. I don't know where he got that, but he was just kind of stuck on that. He knew me, but he had a different name that he knew me by. This is one of the very strange Sundays of the year in terms of our readings. It is Trinity Sunday. And as Dennis mentioned last week in his sermon, it's a time that people are not anxious to preach because we feel so pushed to somehow in 8 minutes explain the theology of the Trinity, just to kind of keep the time, keep it under control. Of course, they assign the entire creation as the first reading, so we've created the whole world already, so what else do we need to know? But this is Trinity Sunday, and very often people do shy away from it because they feel like it's just a matter of arcane theology. But to my mind, it is more a matter of the names we use to refer to a God we already know. Like the principle, we know this God, but we may call this God by different names at different times. After all, theology is the giving of spiritual names to daily experiences. When we think about the Trinity, all we're asking is where and when and how have we seen God? And when we saw God, what name did we use as a label? In the story of God and God's people, we first saw the creation, the order and the beauty of the created world, and we knew something immense and other formed that creation: God the Father. Then in the story, we saw a man loving others relentlessly, showing us how to love relentlessly, a flesh and blood man sacrificed for our sins, God the Son. We see the followers of Christ in his time and in ours, finding in an increasingly deaf and hostile world the courage to carry this counterintuitive gospel to the world, God the Holy Spirit. Alistair McGrath, a theologian who writes a great deal about these things, says that the doctrine of the Trinity can be regarded as the outcome of a process of sustained reflection on the pattern of divine activity in Scripture and in our experience. In other words, we reflect on what we have seen of God, and then we name those different manifestations we have seen. And in our tradition, we name those sightings God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, as we have put it together in looking back on Christian experience, is actually the crystallization of New Testament teaching. It sums up the ways we have seen God, the ways we have known God. Karl Barth speaks of God as the self-revealing God. He says that the subject God is identical with his act in revelation and also with its effect. So in effect, God is the subject, the verb, and the object. For Barth, theology is a process of thinking backwards, thinking afterwards about what is contained in that revelation. Doctrine doesn't come first in the Christian tradition. The experience comes first, and then we try to find and name a doctrine that that describes what we have seen.
But how does this doctrine of the Trinity help us?
I think it just reminds us of the multiplicity of ways that God can be manifested in human life. The Trinity is a description in different names of the ways we have seen God work in our lives, in our personal history, and in the history of God and God's people. The Trinity is a way of showing us God among us. And one reason we are here in this Christian community, in the larger Christian church, is to tell our stories about the effects that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have had on our lives. Now, I cannot explain the Trinity. I can tell you what I've witnessed about the effects that the persons of the Trinity have had on my life. I can only explain what God does in my life, and this Trinity that we speak of is the way we choose to name God in a particular circumstance. We can't explain this intellectually or theologically, but we tell each other our stories of how God has come to us in the times of our lives. One thing that I did as sort of a preparation tool is I got out one of my big theology dictionaries and I looked up Trinity. And I thought, well, this will give me some words that I can use to explain this. I looked up Trinity, and under the listing Trinity, comma, doctrine of, it says, see God. And I think that's the best explanation I've ever heard. The Trinity is where we see God. Jesus says to us that God is God, and whenever you glimpse God in the work of the Father or the Son of the Holy Spirit, it's all one God. It is a unity, but it is a different name, a different way of seeing. Jesus doesn't ever, in the stories of the gospel, try to explain a complicated doctrine to us. But we know through Jesus that when you see goodness in the world, when you see love in the world, when you see justice in the world, when you see wisdom in the world, you have seen God, no matter what name you use to name that manifestation. Human beings have spent millennia talking about this doctrine, but at least in my experience, doctrine doesn't draw people to God. People are drawn to God when they understand and they share the different ways that God, they have seen God at work in their lives. We see the intricacy and the beauty of the natural world, and we have wonder and awe at that creation, and we know of God the Creator, God the Father. We have gratitude that a man, the Son of God, was executed and yet called for forgiveness for his executioners, God the Son. We somehow hold a spirit of hope poured by the love of God into the heart of persons who are suffering or enduring unimaginable loss. God the Holy Spirit. We are drawn to God by these stories of God. We don't explain the Trinity, we experience the Trinity. I can't tell you intellectually what this Trinity means. I can tell you my story, how I've been in the depths of grief and yet saw a glimmer of hope, actually first in this place, in stories of God told by people around me. This is a matter of names. It's not a matter of intellectual explanation. My principal knew who I was, knew what I had done. He just knew me by another name. We reflect on God as we think afterwards, reflecting on what we have seen in our own experience. In my experience, I saw God first in the natural beauty of the creation. God the Father. I saw God when other people helped me, loved me, and healed me by their human presence and tenderness. God the Son.
I can tell you how I found peace despite loss, lifted up by the liturgy of our prayer book and the spirit of community in this place, God the Holy Spirit. I can't explain the Trinity, but I know it when I see it. I come here to hear stories of what all of God's people have seen of those forces and what those forces accomplish in our world. So in regard to the importance of the doctrine of the Trinity, maybe all I need to know is that entry in the reference book, Trinity, Doctrine of. What does it mean? See God. Amen.